This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:38 p.m. Uman Ezra here on the Evening Edition. Now, in this election, there's one common language that political parties speak. Well,
that's right.
At least is the discussion that's being done by an op-ed by Gurdial Singh Nijjar, and it's entitled "The Election Money Game."
Yeah, so I mean, we came across this op-ed today in the Sun Daily, right? But I guess there's been a lot of stuff that's been going on over the last week. I mean, take Saturday for example. On the front page of the Star, it was about the our caretaker prime minister distributing petrol cards to taxi drivers. Some 67,000 or 63,000 taxi drivers were getting petrol cards worth 800 ringgit. Now,
yes.
In the article, I guess the one quote from the article was from our caretaker prime minister, who said, you know, it was being done with the help of the Public Transport Commission, SPAD, with the assistance of the Ministry of Finance. And I think there was an allocation of some 53-odd million ringgit, right? Which that would cost. And there's so many questions, I suppose. It's like, you know, can the Ministry of Finance release this sort of money when it's a caretaker government? When was that money approved? Was it approved before Parliament was dissolved? Where is the money coming from?
And do any of these initiatives contravene the Election Offences Act as well?
Correct, because, I mean, that's the question, right? I mean, who is the one giving out this money? So now, if you had campaign funds, for example, and as a political operative, as a person who is running a campaign, were to decide to dedicate your campaign funds to doing something like this, to feeding the poor, to doing, it's your own money, right? Your donors have entrusted you with this money to do that thing. That's okay. But are you allowed to use government funds to do this?
There's a distinction between funds that have been directed towards a political party and how that party chooses to utilize it to, I guess, expand their campaign. And it's a different thing completely if it's used by taxpayers' funds.
Yes, because the law is very simple, right? No bribery, no undue influence, no use of government machinery. You can spend about 100,000 ringgit on a state seat and 200,000 ringgit on a parliamentary seat.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know, that's not
always the case.
I was going to say that's almost never the case, right? Yeah, and so I mean, this is the question. I think we have a lot. We have an electorate that is a lot more politically aware,
mm-hmm.
and we have an electorate that's a lot more politically conscious. And I think in the past, maybe these questions, even if they had arisen, were from a very narrow segment of society. I think you're going to find more and more people asking these questions.
And I think it also reflects on what is part of our political culture when we observe or if we participate in these types of initiatives. Now, I know from, I guess, personal experience from previous years where this type of approach would be quite common in the state of Kelantan, for example. You know, the economy isn't very well developed, and closer to election season, there are a lot of initiatives where, you know, a lot of homeowners get visits from political operators, and there's, you know, makan-makan and all sorts of
bags of nasi
goodies
and stuff like
they come
that,
about.
Right?
And I think having a clear idea as to where that comes from and who, how it's being utilized and on whose dime, that is even more pertinent now than ever.
Now, I don't blame people for taking it, right? Like you said,
absolutely,
you know, people
not.
Yeah. are struggling, they're poor, they're having trouble making ends meet, and if someone comes with a bag of brass, for example, that's going to help you for like a good couple of weeks, at least if you have a family of four or five. Right?
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about, I guess, our evolving political culture over the past few decades is when we view this, what is our response at the ballot box as well? And that's something that we're going to be discussing a little bit more.
Yeah, we're going to be crossing over to Dr. Gurdial himself. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. So, Doc, how do our courts distinguish between mere political promises on one hand and blatant bribery on the other?
Actually, the line is very blur, you know, because under the Election Offences Act, there are various sections that are listed as amounting to corrupt practice. So there is a concept called treating, which means you can be guilty of an offence if you buy votes by giving or providing tangible items such as money, food, drinks, refreshment, lottery tickets, then you also cannot engage in bribery, again, directly or indirectly, by giving money, by offering office or a place or an employment or a gift or a loan before, during, or even after an election, you know. Now, the question is, most of the courts have taken a very strict view. They said you must prove this beyond reasonable doubt, which is fair enough. But then some of the acts that are undertaken are very clearly in violation of the provisions of the Election Offences Act. Now, if it is just a puff, for example, they call it, that's fine. But these are very serious offers that are being made. Money is also being given out. As we know, recently there was money given to a large section of some working population. Of course, it is not stated as being directly for vote buying. But then the Election Offences Act talks about direct or indirect. So this indirect is not given much credence by courts, I'm afraid, when they decide on cases dealing with corrupt practices or bribery.
Dr. Gurdial, could you clarify what you mean by direct versus indirect offences?
Yes, direct is they themselves doing it by very clear words. Indirect would refer to not they themselves doing it, either doing it through others, to their political party, through any person, for example, right? And it is also an inference, a logical inference to be drawn from the circumstances as to why they are making this offer at this particular critical time when elections are in the offing. Then there are other practices also, like, for example, they are not entitled to use government machinery. A caretaker government is just a caretaker government for purposes of running the day-to-day functions to make sure the government still functions. You know, they're not entitled by convention to, for example, during that time, commit funds for constituencies where their political party is contesting. And then they also cannot, during that time, use public utilities, public funds, governmental funds for purposes of campaigning.
Are there situations at all where goodies and promises during election season are actually legal?
Legal is where you just have your manifesto, and then under your manifesto you've got certain programs, broad programs. Some are more specific than others. That's fine. Under your election manifesto, you're entitled to talk generally about the kind of provisions that you want to apply. For example, you know, as far as education is concerned, the prospective government will cover all expenses and render education free or subsidize it through other means and so on. The problem arises when in a particular constituency in respect of the election of a particular candidate, specific promises are made either to the constituency or groups of people represented in the constituency. I mean, you go to a church or a temple and then promise the community there, okay, I'm going to give you so much money to support that community in building an extra building or running some activity. And that's made conditional upon support being given to the government. And if you do not, then I'm afraid you're not going to get this. Now, this very clearly is a clear inducement to persons on the basis of a consideration which runs foul of the Election Offences Act. It's either it's undue influence or it's bribery. That's very clear. To the common person, it's very clear. But yet the EC does not seem to see this particular difference. Does not seem to be able to see that this violates the Election Offences Act.
Dr. Gurdial, you know, as a hypothetical, what should people do when they notice such activities this election season?
Well, the best thing to do is to collect evidence and to have very clear evidence. The law always draws a distinction between suspicion and clear evidence. Suspicion is when you feel that most probably the reason why this was done was because of corrupt practice. The best is to collect evidence. And there's a lot of evidence. And the People's Tribunal on G13, which is sponsored basically by Bursay, had very clear cases, videos where people were given money, were told you must vote, this is your money, you'll get half of it now, the balance you'll get later. there were a lot of cases where money was dished out quite openly in fairly public place, or lotteries were being organized in the guise of the lotteries. Money was being given out, and then the balance of the money will be given after the election if the candidate was elected. Now, these are very clear corrupt practices. Everybody seems to know, except the authorities that should be taking an interest in this. And perhaps maybe the EC is given more bite in this respect because they are coordinating their efforts with the MACC. And we should cleanse our electoral system from these kind of corrupt practices, because then people are voting because you have promised them some money, you know. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous where votes are bartered. The future governance of the country is based on a corrupt practice. What kind of a government will that yield? A corrupt government, obviously, because that is the basis, or rather that is the ethos of the government that's going to take power. This is absolutely undemocratic. It's the antithesis of the most fundamental precept of a functioning democracy.
Well, we appreciate you, having you on the program. That was Dato' Dr. Gurdial Singh Nijjar. He wrote an op-ed entitled "The Election Money Game" that was published in the Sun newspaper.
I just have to say, Ezra, you know, in all my years voting, nobody has ever offered me any money. I feel very left out.
I don't know what else to say to that. Here's some music by Vampire Weekend, A Punk, BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.